We are so glad you're here tonight because we're going to deal with a subject that affects every family at some point. And it is sort of a silent, hidden killer until, of course, we see it manifested in violent ways. One thing I want to do, especially for those of you who are new, before we get into this, is we have a meet and greet coming up. And just heads up on that, because in these meet and greets after the services, I don't know when that is. Can somebody tell me when that is? I was supposed to say when. Next weekend. So next weekend after this service, you could come back into the administrative offices and meet a number of us, our executive management team, myself, and kind of get to know the place a little bit more. So take note of that if you're here on Saturdays. We want to help you get plugged in. And especially, this is important, at the end of this time here in about 25 minutes, we're going to give you the chance to respond to what God may have said to you tonight. You know, we locate around two questions. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? And if you don't do the what am I going to do about it, that is really, in essence, not worth your time. Because faith is about action. And so if tonight you feel like, I cannot master my anger, it has mastered me, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to Christ and surrender to Him. And I'll give you the directions for that in a little bit. But take out your program right now, because inside it, we have for you to take home two chapters in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14 and 15. And because of some time constraints I'm under, I'm not going to read through the whole section, but I'm going to hit in this section four of these verses I want you to circle. So as much as I would love to talk about a lot of these things that are in here, there's so much in these two chapters, I want you to focus on four verses, circle four verses. First one is Proverbs 14, 17. Would you read that out loud with me? A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. Has that verse ever been more true than this week? Look at verse 29. Say it out loud with me. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Now here's a big one for many of us. Proverbs 15:1. Let's read that together. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And then one more, verse 18. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Now, when you put those four together, you can see this picture of this danger of anger. This potential we have, all of us, with anger. If you look at Proverbs 15:1, for example, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. How many of you have in your lifetime have seen that proverb be totally true? You ever seen that? Yeah, I was expecting that almost all of us would raise our hand and go, yeah. I told our men's ministry this morning, I was talking about this, and I said, you know, if God came to me and said, you can do a do-over, you're going to probably commit all the same mistakes that you did the first go-around, but I'm going to give you a chance to be gentle when you were not, I would take that deal. If I could, in times where those that I loved, those closest to me, those that I was leading, when I was harsh and I could have been gentle, I would take that deal. And I believe I would have eliminated so much pain from my life and the lives of those around me. This is the power we have. Now, anger is not a sin. Anger is an emotion given to us by God that is like touching your finger on a hot stove. There's a mechanism that God gave you that says it's pain. It says, don't touch that hot stove, and you pull your hand back. And anger emotionally is the same thing. Anger is a God-given emotion that tells us that our inner justice system has been violated. Okay, psychologists call anger a secondary emotion, meaning it is a response to something else. And so fear, hurt, injustice, cheating, something has happened that in your system, you know, boom, 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 danger Will Robinson comes out. And then often as a response to that is this thing called anger. And as you saw earlier, that can be about righteous things. We should be angry about what cancer does to little kids and to adults. We should be angry about adults having to drink mud like water. That should make us angry to where we want to do something about that. Okay? But then when we get violated in some way, if we don't learn to properly manage that anger, it goes in and it comes out sideways and it comes out nasty. You never bury dead anger. You always bury living anger. Okay? So remember that. You never, whenever you bury a hurt and you just stuff it, it's never dead. It's always living. And again, at the risk of being grotesque, you remember that image of aliens, alien, when the little alien comes out of the guy? You know, it's a real vivid imagery in the movies. And whenever I teach on anger, I almost always use that imagery because that's a picture of anger. It goes in there and it's never dead. And it comes out in ways that not only damage you, but damage the people around you. So I hope that tonight you have a real spirit of humility. Because I would venture to say, for especially men, because men, depression comes out in the form of anger. There are a lot of us here who need to go to the corner of this room tonight and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ for this reason alone. Because we've spoken too many harsh words. We've said too many non-gentle things and done too many non-gentle things. And we don't want to. But we've got some serious wounds from our past that are just controlling us. And so some of you can sit here tonight and you can think of things that have been said to you, things that weren't said to you, that should have been said to you as a little guy or a little gal growing up. Maybe something coaches did to you or counselors did to you or teachers or people that you looked up to and admired, violated, and you know that inside you is festering this living anger. And the danger of this is that we can achieve a lot of things in life through anger. And I'm a testament to that. I achieved some things athletically, and it was just to stick it in people's faces. It really was. That fueled me for so long. I remember as a freshman in high school, 36 years ago, I think it was 36 years ago, 37, 48, I don't know. And I remember sitting in the locker room on our freshman basketball team, and our coach asked us what our goals were in basketball. And you got to understand, as a freshman, I was 5'7", weighed 120 pounds. And I said, well, my goal in basketball is to play 4 years of college basketball. And I remember him laughing about that. And everybody else joining in the laughter about that. Now, that was 36 years ago. Not that I'm still angry at that old codger who couldn't tell a basketball player from a sumo wrestler, but anyhow, but I can still remember what that felt like. And quite honestly, it was a part of playing a role in saying, I'm going to prove the world wrong. I'm going to prove the world wrong. And so we have a lot of good things that can come out of this, but that same anger that fueled athletic achievement damaged relationships. Now, which is worth more, relationships or fill-in-the-blank achievement? Which is worth more? It's all about relationships at the end of the day. So I want to show you something, because what happens that we've found is we tend to minimize anger. And because Seth's here, we're going to use this imagery of water, okay? Dallas Willard said this. He said, anger first rises spontaneously, but we can actively receive it and decide to indulge in it, and we then become an angry person. Any torrent of rage that is kept in constant readiness. Most people, he said, carry a supply of anger around with them. And so I want to show you the various levels of anger. And one of the first things I have up here is this little, this covert little thing. This is just a little squirt gun. Anybody here not mind to get squirted? Is anybody, you guys okay with getting squirted? So, you know, you see that? It's a little, there you go. I baptize you in the name of the Father. You know, so just, I didn't ask you guys. You know, so this is passive aggression. Anybody ever heard of that? It's like, you know, you don't even know. You don't even, people around you don't even know that you have, sorry, Adam, they don't even know you are carrying anger because you don't visibly carry it. These are people who have this little supply in there, and yet they're too sophisticated to be uncivil with their anger. So that's what passive aggression is. That's what passive aggression is. It usually comes out in the form of cuts and sarcasm. There was an Olympic swimmer, United States Olympic swimmer, that lost a heat or a gold medal into another swimmer from East Berlin. Do you remember? Anybody remember East Berlin swimmers? And I remember this vividly, watching this interview with this gal from the U.S. who said, "Well, I would have won if I were a man too." Whoa, remember that? Remember the East Berlin swimmers who were on all the stuff? Well, but that's passive aggression. You know, it's the coach who's asked about some of the calls during the game, and he says, "Well, I'm not allowed to comment on lousy officiating." That's why I say, I'm staying civil, but I'm really just, you know, boom, it's out there. And a lot of us carry around an ample supply of passive aggression. And what we don't realize is this isn't living water. This is acid. And if I were to say to you right now, "Guys, do you mind if I squirt you with this acid? This flesh," you'd say, "No way." But what we don't realize with passive aggression is it's acidic. It just eats away at souls. It's like a slow, soul-eating element. It just kills relationships. And so some of us tonight, again, we're going to take this to levels here in the next few minutes. And what our tendency is to say, when I get to a certain level, then I need help. I wonder if God's not speaking to some of us here tonight who are passively aggressive. "What's the matter with you?" "Nothing." "Well, you're not saying anything." "Don't have anything to say." "Are you sure you're okay?" "When something's wrong, I'll tell you." You ever been in a conversation with someone like that where they're just going to, "I'm just going to go over here and pout, you know? And I'm going to show you that your rejection of me, what I perceive as rejection, you're not worth being with me." And I mean, just all kinds of ways we are passively aggressive, and we don't see the relationship explode, but it slowly erodes. And that's why, you know, Scripture says in Ephesians 5, for example, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children." And the idea is frustrate them. And it is so easy for parents to just passive aggressively tear their kids down because they're trying to control their behavior. I mean, it's just a nasty thing. And so that's one level, okay? And who knows? I mean, God may speak to you tonight because that's you, okay? Now, anybody mind being squirted? You guys said yes, okay? I want you to see this. You know, this one's a little more powerful, isn't it? And this one, is anybody in for some fun here? Paul, you guys, come on. There you go, Doug. You know, this one is a little more powerful. And this one is dependent on buildup of pressure. And, you know, someone once said that sarcasm, complaining, and griping is anger trying to leave a shriveling soul. Isn't that a good definition? People who are sarcastic and just bitter and complain and gripe, and, you know, they express anger toward people they don't even know. This is, again, it's okay to say I don't agree with something, but when you're angry with a politician you don't even know, it's not harmless. It's just this anger trying to just, you know, it's trying to get out, right? It's trying to get out. And I mean, I can shoot this thing really far. Anybody back there? You know, I can shoot this really, really? You okay? Yeah, I mean, look at that thing. Come back. Yeah. So, I mean, this one becomes more powerful because this is the person that you just, you know, you avoid because they're dangerous to be around, especially verbally. And one of the signs is if when you go to try to hug your kids, they turn away, there's a real good chance that they have just shut down because of your super soaking. There's a real good chance because that's what this does, this sarcasm, you know. And I was one who I realized that my anger would try. I'm not a preacher. I'm not allowed to vent anger. So it would come out in sarcasm so often. that I began to be aware of that and just, you know, turn the thing back on me and see what's the power of this. Okay, so this is a much higher level of destructive words, usually destructive words and actions, because pressure's building up. And this is critical. Just because you suppress your anger doesn't mean it's dying. It may mean that there's just more pressure building up, and the right opportunity is just going to set you off. Now, this one's not hooked up, but boy, do I wish it were. Okay, this is a lawn hose, and this is just out and out open aggression. And this is when we see outbursts of anger that just spray all around the people around him. Now, some of you have been told by psychologists that you need to ventilate your anger, right? Have you ever heard that? And this is the person who just, ah, you know. And they say, you know, I express my anger, but it's over in a second. Well, so's a tornado. You ever seen one of those, what they do? Do you know how long do tornadoes, some of you who lived in Xenia, how long do tornadoes last? Just a few seconds. But the destruction is forever. I mean, the destruction is just incredible. And so this one is that level of aggression that every once in a while, you know, there's a bubble building up in the hose and it just boom, 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 boom. It just explodes on people. And this is the one where typically it leads someone into an environment of judicial reckoning. It typically is what we call road rage, you know. And again, it's going around in our world that it's healthy to ventilate your anger. Have you ever seen someone ventilate their anger and the ventilatee went, thank you for that? You know, have you ever had, you know, you cut someone off accidentally, you didn't mean to, on 48 or something, and I mean, they just let you have it, and they rip into you, and they ventilate, and they give you the single finger salute, and, you know, all that stuff, and you just say, golly, I needed that correction. I just love being ventilated on like that. I'm going to be a new person, and thank you for that visual aid and helping me to remember, you know, that I needed correcting. No. What does ventilation tend to do? What does it tend to do? Other people get out their lawn hoses. Other people get out their lawn hoses. Last night, Sherry and I, on Friday nights, we go to a movie typically, and we saw this incredible movie called The Place Beyond the Pines. And one of the reasons I wanted to see it last night is it's an incredible, incredible picture of how a parent's anger gets passed down and the implications of that. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that. But this is that some of us have criminal records because anger just built up in us until one day we made some really, really bad mistakes. And then, of course, there's violence. And this is that level of anger that requires a fire hydrant. It requires an extinguisher. It's what we saw in Boston this week. Of anger that manifests itself in a maximum capacity. Jesus was so amazing in his teaching. In Matthew 5, he said, you're angry, then you start acting contemptuously, and then that leads to actually devaluing the person by calling them names, and the next step is murder. That all murder started with this unresolved anger. So anytime I don't resolve anger, I'm on a path of escalation that he said, you end up building your own prison. That's the imagery he gave. He said, you will not get up out of there until you've paid the last penny. That's the eventuation of this anger to this. I mean, it just, until I say, I have to deal with this, what we tend to do is let this go. We usually let this go, and then we do something about it when we're to this level. And what I'm telling you tonight is that your weakness that brought you to Christ may just be this. That there may be someone who says, it was a series on the Proverbs, and I look back, and it was that at that point I realized I had the squirt gun. And I wanted to have a clean heart. You see, there are some steps you have to take, and I want to pass this on. We have a counseling ministry that can really help you. But there's some steps you have to take. One is you have to admit you're angry. You have to come clean about it. You have to admit, I've got some wounds in my past that aren't resolved, and it comes out sideways. And I just kind of squirt it on people. You have to be willing to forgive. Hold who offended you for the past, but don't let them control your future. Randy Creamer teaches a class on forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not. Forgiveness is an act of the will. I choose to release the offender. And you begin that process. You begin that process of letting go. And then you begin to take action steps toward healing through prayer, through meditation. And you begin to quiet your soul. You begin to do things. There are activities you can do that begin to melt your soul. But the fourth thing, but it's actually the number one thing that I believe you have to do when it comes to anger, is you got to live a daily life of surrendering that to Jesus Christ and say, you know my heart, you know my thoughts before anything ever comes to my mouth. Before it comes to my mind, you know my thoughts. And you know that I am angry. You know that I easily am quick-tempered and I have a short fuse. You know that I've done damage to my loved ones. You know that I've chosen to be a victim. And tonight is the night where that ends. And I begin to take the acid inside my life and I begin to let you change it to living water. Because you know what? He can do that. He can do that. He can take that acidic buildup in your soul and he empties you of that and he'll begin a process by which he begins to fill you with his living water. One day, look at these words, John chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus stood in the middle of Jerusalem and in a loud voice, John tells us, he said, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within them. Don't you want that? Don't you want to stop being a victim of past hurts? Hold the offender accountable for the past. But are you ready to not let that person control your present and your future? Because right now, if you're holding on to those wounds, they are. You're at the mercy of those hurts. And Jesus said, if you will believe in me, meaning that you'll trust me and you'll walk with me. You know, one of the things that we have around here that we build our whole church on is what's called the five S's. Of solitude, scripture, service, support, and significant events. And the cool thing about that is those five practices you can overlay against anything you're working through in life. So I can take those five S's and I can say, I've got an anger issue. I'm just ticked off. Hebrews 12:15 says, don't let the bitter root grow up. It will defile many. I've let that happen. And I want to deal with that. So I begin to use solitude in my life to sit with God, to sit with Christ and allow His presence to come into my life. I begin to read Scripture on how much He loves me and He's forgiven me. I begin to be in service so that I can give away that part of me because I realize wherever I go, I'm still there. I'm my biggest problem. I want to give me away so that more of Him can come in. That's what happens when you serve. I want to be in supportive relationships where I can have people helping me through this and see all the significant events of my life through the filter of I've asked Him to go to work on my anger. He's doing that. What does this bombing in Boston say? What does it say? Because you see, for me this week, I said, Lord, what are you saying to me through this? What am I going to do about it? And for me as a person who came to Christ largely because I was a very angry individual, it reminded me that I was on the path of those young men at one time. Anybody here identify with that? I was on that path at one time. I probably wouldn't have blown up people. But I could have just wreaked all kinds of havoc. And so it reminded me again to surrender, you know, who I am to Him every day. So here's what we're going to do. Thinking of that verse and thinking of that promise in John 7:3, I want to give you a chance to immediately God said something to you tonight, do something about it. And a lot of our ministry team are going to be over here in the corner of the room with me after I pray. And if you need prayer, or it is time for you to say, I give my life to Jesus Christ. I am surrendering my life to Christ. I'm opening myself up to Christian baptism, where His water of forgiveness flows over my body as a symbol that His new water has flooded into my soul. Do you see this picture? Do you see this picture? This is what He does. And this is what He'll go to work in doing. But you have to take that step of saying, I surrender all. I surrender all. You can make beautiful things out of the dust and dirt of my anger, Lord. Now I give you my life. You go to work. So would you stand up with me right now? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And in this prayer, I'm going to lead you in what you would say to Christ. For those of you who are here tonight and you've already done this, we have the table of forgiveness around this room. And that has the symbol of the body and the blood that were given for us. That all the offenses that we have acted out upon God, He has washed us of those. It's just, this is the scandal of grace. That He has forgiven me. And so that's why Jesus said, if you've been forgiven, you have to work through this. This is not an option. And so I'm going to lead us to that tonight. And just pray that those of you who do need to come to the corner of that room tonight, if you heard God's voice, you will not put it off. Because who knows what's happening next that He wanted to prepare you for. So let's pray right now. Father, we justify our squirt guns. We minimize our super soakers. And we are frightened of our lawn hose anger expressions. We say we would never need a fire hydrant or an extinguisher. But the reality is there are many of us who are doing damage slowly. And you sent your Son to begin that act of washing us of acid and filling us with love. That's the cure. That if I'm here tonight and this week, I hit someone. I cut someone with words. I withdrew from someone with anger. That you know that. And you're forgiving that. The price for that has already been paid through your Son. And that if we will confess that to you, you will empty us of that and you'll begin the process of filling the contents of our soul with living water, the love of God in Jesus Christ. And now, Father, as one who needs that, I lead in this prayer. Jesus Christ, the lover of all, I give you my heart and my soul tonight. I open myself to you. Everything I've done to try to self-medicate my anger, to try to drown my wounds, I lay them before you. Your word says that you know my heart and you are greater than my heart. And for that, I'm thankful tonight. But I now am going to publicly commit my life to you and allow you to bring your commitment to me. A commitment of regeneration and transformation. Where that one person who many knew as one who splayed acid upon people is now a person that they see living water comes out of. Words of encouragement and grace and peace. That can happen. Because I have seen it in my own life. And I've seen it in so many others around here. And now, Jesus Christ, I give you my life that you may go to work. In your character, it was so amazing, we pray, thanking you for this. And everyone who agreed said, amen, amen. We'll see you next week, everybody.